Chapter 20. The blind rolled up with a sharp rattle, and Richard blinked. "A fascinating evening you appear to have spent," said Dirk gently, "even though the most interesting aspects of it seem to have escaped your curiosity entirely." He returned to his seat and lounged back in it, pressing his fingertips together. "Please," he said, "do not disappoint me by saying, 'Where am I? A glance will suffice.'" Richard looked around him in slow puzzlement, and felt as if he were returning unexpectedly from a long sojourn on another planet, where all was peace and light and music that went on and on forever. He felt so relaxed he could hardly be bothered to breathe. The wooden toggle on the end of the blind cord knocked a few times against the window, but otherwise all was now silent. The metronome was still. He glanced at his watch. It was just after 1 o'clock. "You have been under hypnosis for a little less than an hour," said Dirk, "during which I have learnt many interesting things, and been puzzled by some others which I would now like to discuss with you. A little fresh air will probably help revive you, and I suggest a bracing stroll along the canal. No one will be looking for you there. Janice!" Silence. A lot of things were still not clear to Richard, and he frowned to himself. When his immediate memory returned a moment later, it was like an elephant suddenly barging through the door, and he sat up with a startled jolt. "Janice!" shouted Dirk again. "Miss Pierce! Damn the girl!" He yanked the telephone receivers out of the waste paper basket and replaced them. An old and battered leather briefcase stood by the desk, and he picked this up, retrieved his hat from the floor, and stood up, screwing his hat absurdly on his head. "Come," he said, sweeping through the door to where Miss Janice Pierce sat glaring at a pencil. "Let us go. Let us leave this festering hellhole. Let us think the unthinkable. Let us do the undoable. Let us prepare to grapple with the ineffable itself, and see if we may not eff it after all. Now, Janice, shut up!" Dirk shrugged, and then picked off her desk the book which earlier she had mutilated when trying to slam her drawer. He leafed through it frowning, and then replaced it with a sigh. Janice returned to what she had clearly been doing a moment or two earlier, which was writing a long note with the pencil. Richard regarded all this in silence, still feeling only semi-present. He shook his head. Dirk said to him, "Events may seem to you to be a tangled mass of confusion at the moment, and yet we have some interesting threads to pull on. For of all the things you have told me that have happened, only two are actually physically impossible." Richard spoke at last. "Impossible?" he said, with a frown. "Yes," said Dirk, "completely and utterly impossible." He smiled. "Luckily, you have come to exactly the right place with your interesting problem, for there is no such word as impossible in my dictionary. In fact," he added, brandishing the abused book, "everything between herring and marmalade appears to be missing. Thank you, Miss Pierce. You have once again rendered me sterling service, for which I thank you, and will, in the event of a successful outcome to this endeavour, even attempt to pay you. In the meantime, we have much to think on, and I leave the office in your very capable hands." The phone rang, and Janice answered it. "Good afternoon," she said. "Wainwright's Fruit Emporium. Mr. Wainwright is not able to take calls at this time, since he is not right in the head and thinks he is a cucumber. Thank you for calling." She slammed the phone down. She looked up again to see the door closing softly behind her ex-employer and his befuddled client. "Impossible," said Richard again in surprise. "Everything about it," insisted Dirk. "Completely and utterly, well, let us say, inexplicable. There is no point in using the word impossible to describe something that has clearly happened, but it cannot be explained by anything we know.